Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is recorded in the book of Matthew in chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. And then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So far the text. In Jesus' name, our beloved Savior, dearly beloved of God, as I reflected last week on this text that contains Jesus' so-called Beatitudes, my mind went back to the days I served as assistant pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Mankato, fresh out of SEM. Part of the assistant pastor call at Emmanuel involved teaching a religion course to 9th and 10th grade students of Emmanuel Church's school. And one unit in the curriculum was a lesson on the Beatitudes. And I remember searching for resources, it might be helpful to a greenhorn pastor for teaching this lesson to youth. And I ran across a resource at a local Christian bookstore that suggested that one approach teacher might use to help their students understand what Jesus was teaching in this part of His Sermon on the Mount was the attitudes you ought to be. I thought to myself, that's a catchy phrase, might be good for piquing interest from young students, but after thinking more, I reached the conclusion that it's actually an example of mishandling Scripture. Jesus was not teaching His disciples here a list of rules that they needed to follow as His disciples. He was exhorting them simply to be who they are. What He made of them by His grace, to let their light of faith shine, as He said later in this sermon, in their daily life in these various ways, and to do so finding great joy that they will find their lives abundantly blessed. And so we want to consider these so-called Beatitudes of Jesus this morning, and we do that with a prayer that He enable us to reflect more and more these Christian graces to His glory and our blessing as His dearly blood-bought disciples. First, let's consider Beatitudes 1 to 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And along the way of our discussion this morning, we're going to first speak about how Jesus reflected these particular virtues in His life as our Savior. For example, we know how He exhibited the trait of poorness of spirit. He became poor for us, did not consider His equality with God something to be selfishly held on to, but made Himself nothing for us. He mourned when He witnessed the devastating effects of sin on people's lives in the world that he had created, which he never intended to have happen. He wept tears of sorrow at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, was moved with compassion for people whom he saw that were afflicted with various debilitating physical afflictions and healed them. And we know how he exhibited meekness when he went to the cross as an uncomplaining lamb. And these are traits, friends, that he blesses us with through the gospel, the same traits, the ability, Spirit-given, to see our poorness before God, how far short we fall of his glory, our failures to love and trust in him above all things, and our neighbor as ourself. And so that's why every day we're moved, are we not, to confess our sins to the Lord and pray for his forgiveness. And first thing we do, we get to church and the service gets underway. We confess our sins, admitting, I don't even deserve to be called your child. And in our interactions with others, when we're hurt by other people, like Jesus, we seek to exhibit meekness. We meekly turn away, walk away rather than striking back. Instead of lashing out with anger, we let love cover the multitude of sins, just as the Lord has done for us. He's made us to be different this way as his disciples, different than the people of the world. He's blessed us with this desire to be meek, just like him. Meek, by the way, doesn't mean weak. Actually exhibits strength that the Lord gives to us as we exhibit these traits. Somebody might say, well, who wants to be like Jesus? You're not going to get ahead in life unless you stop being meek and gentle. You need to be assertive and aggressive and stand up for yourself. You need to fight back. Jesus tells us the very opposite. He calls the meek ones blessed, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You have the comfort of God's forgiveness, and you have the promise of inheriting the earth, which means that the Lord causes all things in the earth to work together for our good, and at the end of time, we'll inherit the new earth that he's going to create for his own. What a wonderful beatitude. This statement of fact and unbelievingly precious promises the Lord here gives us. The next two beatitudes, more traits that we have as Jesus' disciples. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Again, first of all, Jesus, remember how he carried out his ministry for us. He possessed and showed that kind of a heart that led him with earnest resolve to fulfill all righteousness for us, to do the will of his Father who sent him and to finish that work, to win for us the righteousness we need to stand before God. And we have that same resolve as Christians, don't we? That same determination. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. We already have Jesus' imputed righteousness by faith, and that's not what Jesus is referring to here. Rather, it's this, that in our lives as his disciples during our sojourn through the world, we want to, again, a Spirit-given ability, we want to renounce ungodliness and live upright and godly lives for the Lord. We ask him, we pray that he give us pure hearts and keep us from having selfish hearts, from doing things from impure, dishonest motives, and to enable us to have godly motives. The unbelievers would say, you Christians, you're just hypocrites. You're trying to show us up. Jesus says, no need to be embarrassed to do what is right and pure and noble. In doing so, you're truly blessed because you see God. You've been blessed with eyes of faith to see your God as he has revealed himself to you in his word. You see by faith his goodness and his love, his care and concern for you, his dear children. And so you pray, as we do, create in me a clean heart, O God, Make me to walk in your commands. 'Tis a delightful road. And yes, you will also see God later with these eyes. As John writes, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we'll be just like him, for we shall see him just as he is. Next two Beatitudes, two more traits we have as Christ's followers. Blessed are the merciful, and blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus, of course, we know how he was merciful. We recall stories in the Gospels. People were crying out to him, like during his ministry in very dire circumstances. Lord, have mercy. The Greek there is Kyrie eleison. Remember the 10 men stricken with leprosy? That's what they said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The father whose son was suffering from epileptic seizures, who came up to the Lord and knelt down in front of him. Lord, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's suffering terribly. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar of Jericho. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us, or have mercy on me. In each instance, the Lord demonstrated mercy. Showed himself to be the peacemaker, come from heaven to establish a loving relationship between us sinners and our holy God by taking upon himself our sins and atoning for them on the cross. Told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. And now as his disciples to whom he has shown such mercy and bestowed the peace of forgiveness, we naturally, again, according to our new man, as Christians, we want to show it to others. No need to continue quarrels or hold grudges against other people. We want to do what shows that we are sons, and we are. You shall be called sons of God, Jesus says here. We are. Others may tell us differently and say, ah, don't be forgiving. Don't be merciful. Do not make peace. But we know that that is not what we'll make for a blessed life. We have a blessed life because Christ has been merciful to us, and so we want to show mercy and be helpful and compassionate to others as children of the Heavenly Father who've been adopted into his family. That's our goal when we get up in the morning, right? To show peace, to be peacemakers towards others. Last two Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Jesus, we all know, had a willingness to bear patiently persecution, insults, hurtful behavior of others towards him. We're coming up on the Lenten season, 2 weeks. Be reminded in our Wednesday evening services of what Jesus gladly endured to save us. And we have now that same willingness as the Lord to suffer for his sake, for righteousness' sake, rather than fall away. In fact, we promise that in our confirmation vows. We want to stay faithful to Christ, faithful to his word, though it may involve trouble on account of it. The world's hatred, maybe verbal jabs, some cases even physical abuse, like some parts of the world is happening. But when it happens, if it happens, it's a sign that we are his blessed disciples. We're among those who can look forward to life in heaven, as Jesus says here, for yours is the kingdom of heaven, and great is your reward in heaven. Such, friends, are the blessings that Jesus guarantees to each of his disciples. Though we're not worthy of the least of his mercies, he's committed to doing all this for us in his love. And a closing word on that word blessed, which the Savior repeats 9 times in these Beatitudes. The Greek term translated blessed is Makarios. It's found, as you know, in many other verses of the Bible. A lot of them are familiar, like we said before. Blessed, Makarios are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus to Thomas, a week after Easter, blessed, Makarios are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Paul, our congregation's namesake, who wrote to the Romans, and he knew about this. Blessed, Makarios are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Makarios means happy. So when the Lord spoke his Beatitudes, he was saying that as we implement the Christian graces in our lives that he here outlines, he'll fill our lives with happiness. True happiness, which things like worldly wealth and worldly success and freedom from earthly trouble cannot give us. And one other thought here, interestingly, right after the last beatitude in verse 12, notice that Jesus says, rejoice and be how glad? That's a different word in the Greek. Exceedingly glad, that's the word agaliao, which means not just happy, but really happy, jubilant, because not only are you blessed to enjoy in Christ a secure and comfortable and happy life at peace with your God now, you will spend eternity with him later, experiencing fullness of joy and pleasures at his right hand forever. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Salvation, uphold with your spirit.